This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are off and running on a Monday night, the first Monday of December, alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray, the crew, the gentleman, hanging out for a couple extra segments here. The crossover, Follow the Money, Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard. Gentlemen, crazy weekend, crazy Thanksgiving, carnage across Survivor. Sorry, too soon.
Sure.
And New England. Did I get a shut up? Sorry. New England can't lay in seven here against the Giants.
Well, I think Paulie and I are on different sides here.
I like the Patriots. I bet them early last week, plus 7.5. I don't think even when I bet them, we knew that Dart was even to be the quarterback yet.
So you like the Patriots or the Giants?
I'm sorry, I like the Giants.
Okay, yeah.
Paulie likes the Patriots. I like the Giants here. They've been in a lot of games this year. They are much better than their 2-10 record overall. And a couple of offensive linemen are down for the Patriots in this game. In theory, the Giants have guys that can take advantage of that and get to May. May is the fourth most sacked quarterback in the league. The comeback, I think, is the game plan here for New England needs to be a heavy dose of Travion Henderson tonight. And I would put him in way ahead of Stevenson. We just had the conversation at the tail end of Follow the Money. He is clearly the better running back. And the Giants' metrics defensively against the run, they're the worst team in football. Stopping the run.
Mm-hmm. I want to point out that Mitch Moss just pulled off the old tout service boiler room trick. He gave out the Giants and the Patriots.
And what did I really say that?
Yeah. First, you said you liked the Patriots, and you said you liked the Giants,
okay.
Right?
No. He meant me. Yep. But
yeah, I know.
I was slipping the tongue. But in the old days, that was how the tout service boiler rooms worked.
Yeah.
You could get, let's say, you could get 5,000 calls. You get 50% of them. You give the Patriots, the other 50% you give the Giants, and that guarantees that 50% are going to call back for a play next week.
Well, there you go.
Well, talk to me off the air, and I'll tell you why I like the Giants in the game tonight, right. Or the Patriots now. I'm confusing myself.
Total sitting at 47.5. All right, Paulie, we heard Mitch's take on the G-men catching the points. You still can get a 7.5 out there, but the 7.5s are going. Here at Circus, still sits 7. FanDuel's a juice 7. DraftKings is a juice 7. FanDuel looks like the 7.5 is still available if you do like the Giants in this spot.
Well, he's right. It's a horrendous run defense. The only time the Eagles went off and got Barkley going was against the Giants at home. A big dose of Henderson tonight. It didn't matter for the Bills yesterday with down 2 offensive tackles. So I just think with Vrabel that they'll be okay down Campbell and down a couple of linemen and they'll be fine. You got a team that's 0-7 on the road. You got a horrendous defense that just fired their DC. You have an interim coach and you have a quarterback who could be rusty. So I'm staring right at the one seed, and I'm going right into a bye, and I want to go strong into the bye. And I have an excellent coach, Vrabel minus $2, coach of the year now. Patriots cover, and kind of a zag would be Dart rushing yards over to just say, this is what I do. I will try to avoid the big hit. I will try to slide, but I will run, and I will go over 26.5 rushing yards. And even peekaboo. Sneak in the end zone at plus 350 anytime.
I'm on Pats plus 7.5, but it's not a big bet tonight. And this is Patriots have been playing some tight games here lately. And when you look at the Drake May sack numbers, he's been dropped 37 times. That's the fourth most in the league. Look at the quarterbacks who have been sacked the most. Cam Ward, Geno Smith, and Justin Herbert. Three of the worst offensive lines in the league right in front of those quarterbacks. Now, Paul, I agree with your point about I'm starting to get to the point where if you have multiple offensive linemen out, I'm not even going to care about that anymore in my handicapping.
Yeah,
right?
Interesting.
I know, that's it. The Chargers' offensive line's been decimated. Uh-huh. Yeah, they keep winning. Yesterday, the Bills have both starting offensive tackles out. Yeah, they run for 200-some yards against the Steelers.
How about that?
It's almost like it doesn't matter at that point. So I know that the Patriots' offensive line's been a mess, but I'm not going to make too much of a deal about that tonight. It might play out through the course of the game. That's a factor. And when I looked at it prior to the weekend, I thought it was going to be a factor. This Giants aggressive defensive front, I think, is going to get after Drake May, put him under pressure tonight. I'm a little bit concerned about Jackson Dart and how sharp he's going to be off the concussion. You guys remember when Brock Purdy came back from the concussion, he wasn't very good. Hopefully Dart's not foggy like that. and is playing with a clear head tonight. Pats plus 7.5, not a big play. I'm also planning to live bet this game, depending on how the first half unfolds.
In fact, as you were saying that, Matt, it reminded me that I absolutely made this bet when Winston, we thought he still might be the starting quarterback, and we did not know about Dart. Because I'm fine with Winston.
I am too.
If he, you know, was the starting quarterback for this game tonight and they were catching 7.5, maybe it actually might be higher. I don't know how what the market would look at and compare Dart overall to Winston. But he was fine in those couple of starts in relief there last couple of weeks.
I'm not even sure if there's much of a difference in the point spread between the two. You're talking about Winston passed for 366, and the Giants have 517 total yards against the Lions.
Yeah.
Right? The offense was fine with Winston at quarterback.
Yeah, everything was work. Gadget plays, everything. Yeah. It was phenomenal what they were doing. And they only sacked them once on the final play. So that's why I think it's tough from a prop standpoint, too. That he had, you know, you had a good rapport with Robinson before he got hurt, but Robinson just went off against the Lions and what he did. I know Warren Sharp was making a case for Tracy receptions over and yards over, but the rust factor, Foggy, who knows? Maybe the tight ends get involved, but it's a difficult game. And I was hoping for wind here, but it's just going to be cold. No wind tonight.
I want to circle back to what you said, Paulie, about Jackson Dart rushing props and kind of combining with what Matt talked about. So you look at Jackson Dart and his starts so far, 54, 55, 58. Then he had the stretch against Denver and Philly where he was held in check, 11 and 17. 56 and 66 rushing yards.
Right.
But then you have the question of, is he going to be held back because of coming off of the concussion, which is what Matt pointed out. Is he going to be a little bit rusty? So you look at the raw numbers, you say, you got to bet this over his rushing yards, but do you hold back because he's coming back from that concussion he sustained about 3 weeks ago?
Yes. Great rundown. I think it's an overreaction. You know, Mitch read an article earlier he can share. But talking to my Giants source, I think it's just this is what he does and this is who he's going to beat. It's like the Mike Tyson. Everyone's got a plan till they get punched in the face. So when the bullets are flying, I think he takes off and runs. I'm not saying there's design stuff, but this is what he do. This is what he does, and I think he do a better job of sliding or getting out of bounds. There's a nice piece on ESPN.com about all his teammates yelling him, slide, 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 get down. What are you doing? I just think it's too low now with what you ran down, and now we're sitting here, he's priced in the mid-20s.
I mean, he's flown over it in 5 of the 7 starts, flown over it, but the uncertainty regarding is he going to be full go, which, Mitch, maybe you have something
more
on that.
Well, no, there's also this angle, too. So what if he just acts like the same old Jackson Dart that was taking off like that for the first, you know, 5 or 6 starts, as you just documented, and he takes another blow away in the game. Yeah. And then, here comes the blue tent, and oh, my God, now we have to go to Winston again.
Yeah. And we don't have Brian Daboll over there yelling at the people in the blue tent anymore.
That's right. And because he was in what they looked at him for a concussion 3 different times already.
Is it four?
Four times? Okay. So, like, if he doesn't operate in a different way, like, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at his rushing attempts tonight as well. There's one book out there with 6.5, under is minus 170. Most every other book has 5.5 on him at, you know, regular juice. Does he get the 7 rushing attempts in this game tonight? Assuming that they're not winning the game and he kneels it out?
I think this goes back to Ole Miss, though. And even Kiffin couldn't get through to him. I just think this is who he is and the bravado and macho stuff, and I'm taking off.
All right, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I don't think Josh Allen should run as much as he does, but that's the way he plays. You're not going to change it. If you bet that prop on Dart, too, you got to be concerned. Does he get knocked out of the game?
Right. That's what Mitch was pointing out, too. Yeah, I mean, that's always the worry, too. I mean,
well, and how about this, though? I mean, you talked about the linemen being out for the Bills. In that same game, Paulie and I yesterday were making the case that this should be a huge spot for Jalen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell.
No doubt.
They never got anything going on the ground.
Steelers had 60 yards rushing.
Yeah, they never had the ball because Buffalo dominated the entire game. Uh-huh. And Buffalo's run defense is god-awful.
I know.
So, I mean, the way the NFL is going so far, like this year, like forget about trying to predict most of this stuff. Does the Giants' run defense slow down Henderson and the Patriots in this game tonight? Like, it sounds silly to say because they can't stop anybody.
Right.
But it's like it's maddening when you think you're onto something here, like the Steelers should have been yesterday, and it just goes out the window.
Well, you mentioned the other angle too. It's this is big for awards. You know, Coach of the Year, 1 seed. Maybe Mays becomes the favorite for the MVP. If he has a big game, he should be able to carve up this defense. You know, speaking of the rushing angle, I trust May, longest rush over here, too. He just takes off a couple times. It can have a 12, 13-yard rush as well. what he can do. But, it's you know, he throws for 300 yards and a couple touchdowns after Stafford's stinker. That could change things from an MVP standpoint.
May plus 120 right now to win an MVP. Big Does that change tonight?
The big game for May is going to be next week against Buffalo.
Yeah.
If he has a big game against the Bills and the Patriots win, I think he's going to be he's going to be a pretty solid MVP favorite. But that's if that happens.
Sure.
Monday Night Football in New England, 7-point spread right now at most sports books. There is a 7.5 out there at FanDuel. Total, we'll call it 47 circa. Let me just double check this. I think just went to 46.5, so coming off of 47. DraftKings still sits 47.5 juiced under in this one. We'll dive into some props as well here on the other side of the break here with the fellas. Johnny Avello going to join us at 8 o'clock Eastern, as he always does, as we'll recap the weekend as well as take a look at what is to come here tonight with this game and how it is being bet, Giants and Patriots. But just
When are we going to talk about Miami Notre Dame? Are we going to talk about Lane Kiffin?
We got 4 hours. I would just figure 3 hours and 45 minutes of that, if that would be strike
good.
Everyone's fancy. Yeah, that's all that anyone can talk about these days. But we'll find our way into all of that. You know what we will talk about, though? Pizza was just delivered.
Oh, nice.
We are ready. We will be well-fed, fresh off of Thanksgiving weekend. We will be well-fed. Dom DeMarco's Matt, our pizza sponsor.
Yeah, I told Al Scalia that Paul Howard was upset we didn't have pizza last week.
Yes.
So he said, pizza tonight, Monday Night Football. Tell Paul Howard that Dom DeMarco's will deliver.
9785 West Charleston, just by Red Rock Casino, the official Monday Night Football food sponsor of VSiN Primetime. We'll get into Monday Night Football props next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime, the Circa Friday Football Invitational, every Friday night here in this time slot where you get picks galore. And Chris Felica, another solid week, 4-3, as he is now tied for first. But Matt, Jason Jarvis, his best bet is on the line tonight, and that best bet has been on fire.
Yeah, this is a record, obviously. Jason Jarvis, a pro gambler out of Connecticut, 11 consecutive best bet winners in the Circa Friday Football Invitational. That streak on the line tonight with Giants. I believe he's got 7.5. I think that was the number here at Circa on Friday. So Giants plus 7.5 is best bet tonight. And Jarvis finally hit a speed bump. He had been cruising for the past several weeks. 1-5 going into tonight. It happens to everybody,
yep.
even
mm-hmm.
the leader of the Circa Million.
Great
Potato,
call.
Potato
yep.
Kamish.
Yep.
1-4 this week.
Mm.
You know, it's going to happen to everybody. We're going to have that week where you hit the speed bump and it happened to Jarvis, but that best bet streak on the line tonight with the Giants.
You also had the Commanders, which that would have been a brutal, brutal go of it.
Yeah, I did too.
And it looked like...
You're down to one play.
Marcus Mariota's getting ripped down to the ground. You're like, oh, here it is. It's over. It's intercepted.
Yep. So
the right side did get home last night. Commanders losing in overtime. The Broncos winning another close game, of course, as that's just been the MO of their season. But... Mm-hmm. 7 is the number tonight, Patriots and Giants, and we got a whole lot to dive into from a prop standpoint, fellas, so let's do that here. You mentioned it already, Paulie, one of your kind of zags off of you laying the points with the Patriots is Jackson Dart over his rushing yards here this evening. What else are you looking at from a prop standpoint? Any kicking props jumping out to you? No kicking props tonight.
Can't do it tonight. Over 28.5 rushing, you can ladder them too. I wouldn't put you off that, plus 350, anytime touchdown. And I thought Warren Sharp made a great case about Tracy and what he's done the last couple days receiving. And he's only 2.5 in some spots for receptions, and he's got low with the yardage total. So I think some dump-offs and a good breakdown from Sharp. He's been good with the Monday night games. That's another angle to look at.
By the way, I'm sure some sharp math people out there could correct me if I'm wrong, but AI is telling me right now that for Jason Jarvis to hit 11 straight bets is 1 in 2048. So it's a 0.049% chance of actually happening.
How about 12? What are the odds of hitting 12 in a row?
Putting you to work.
That's good. Probably it says no chance he can hit 12. It doubles, 1 in 4,096. So 0.024% chance of him actually doing it and pulling this off. That's how impressive this run has been. Mm-hmm.
It's been a hell of a run, and yeah, it's, you know, one that we look at, certainly I look at every Saturday on the tailgate show after Matt does his show, and look at what the Bears got. Our guy, the madman, Chris Massaro, just climbing up the rankings. He's sitting there in third right now. So it's been a fun contest, certainly, to keep an eye on. And people are starting to get hot, Matt, in this contest.
Talk about Jarvis, by the way. The previous week, his best bet was the Cowboys against the Eagles, down 21-0. And I know he was freaking out at that point. The Cowboys rally, and they win the game. It's amazing when you look at how that NFC East has kind of flipped in the last couple of weeks.
Well,
Eagles seem to be falling apart at the same time the Cowboys are coming together. Yeah.
So as I asked Paulie a little bit earlier on Follow the Money, what do you think the odds were? I don't know this because I wasn't looking. Well, but for the Eagles to win that division when they led 21-0 2 weeks ago.
When they led 21-0?
They had, it had like
150-1?
Yeah.
Was it on the board?
I said, what were the Cowboys 150-1 to win the division?
Yeah. Had to be more than 100-1.
Three touchdowns?
Yep, and now they're 7-1
team. Yeah,
they were 14-1 just to win the game. And what happened?
So parlay that with other stuff that had to happen then. And now I think, like, I don't know about you guys, I like the Cowboys Thursday night. I think they win the game. I bet it accordingly. And I know it's the Chargers we're talking about with that offensive line. What's to like about the Eagles right now on offense? Nothing.
Not much, and there seems to be a rift between players and coaches or players among themselves, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley. A lot of guys on that team seem not to like each other. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, it's just –
it's amazing. This was the team that led the Chiefs 34-0 in the third quarter of the Super Bowl.
What's the problem?
What
is the problem?
They did change the offensive coordinator.
2 years ago, they completely collapsed.
They did.
Collapsed.
They quit in a playoff game.
Embarrassed in the playoffs. Yep. They come back, run the gambit, dominate the Super Bowl, and here we are again. What the hell is going on in Philadelphia? It's just ebbs and flows with this franchise.
And then
right
at
now.
The same time, how about this Dallas defense? Suddenly looks like one of the better defenses in the league. Looked like one of the worst. Now looks like one of the best. And Dak Prescott, George Pickens, and CeeDee Lamb, and that entire offense, Javonte Williams is running well. All of a sudden, the Cowboys look like a team that you don't want to play in the face in the playoffs.
I would not want to play them, no.
And a good run defense, and now it's on Campbell, down St. Brown, tight ends, and an offensive lineman, how he's going to get the passing attack going. And we know how Goff is under pressure. So, and the defense stinks. Yep. That's another thing. What's happened to this team? Winston carved them up. Love looked great against them. And that's the other thing where it's like, you know, it's one thing to say, well, I like the win total under, tough. But to go back a month ago and say they're not even going to make the playoffs, and I think they miss, that's going to be tough for Lions fans to stomach when they can't make the playoffs.
Well, you look at the Dallas schedule. If they are, as Mitch, you pointed out, are able to take care of business on Thursday, then it's the Vikings who look like an absolute disaster right now. Then it's the Chargers dealing with their injuries. Commanders who showed a pulse, but it's still Washington, and who knows if Jaden Daniels is going to come back with that elbow injury. He's still not cleared for contact. I know that's a while away, and that's a short week on Christmas. And then you wrap up against the Giants. It's wild to think about the turnaround of this Dallas Cowboy team, but here we are. I mean, this is a team that was an absolute embarrassment on Monday Night Football against the Arizona Cardinals a couple weeks ago.
They've lost 9-10. That's the win.
Yep. I will remind people, by the way, last year the Lions off their bye week. Sorry to cut you off, Paul. It was week 6. They went to Dallas.
They ran
up the score. Yes. If I recall correctly, Ben Johnson, bag of tricks after the bye week, big time, 47-9. I wonder if the Cowboys have had like this game like circled a little bit like that. They came to our house last year and embarrassed us. We're going to pay them back when we have a chance to, and now they get to maybe do that on Thursday night.
Rubbed it in their face. They're running trick plays and throwing touchdown passes to offensive linemen.
That's right.
In the fourth quarter?
Because that was the game that got called back a year prior, right?
That's right,
Saturday night.
So they had it ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Good angle.
That'll be a fun one on Thursday, no doubt. That'll start week 14 of the NFL season. But week 13 wraps up tonight. And before we bid adieu to you guys, we mentioned what sides you're on. You guys are against one another. Mitch, any other prop angles for you tonight outside of taking the points with the G-Men?
You know what I'm doing? I'm tailing Ryan Kramer's first touchdown props for tonight.
I like him tonight. I like him.
Yeah, so he's not doing anything wonky tonight. He's not doing the defenses.
Get it out of here, Ryan.
There's not a third-string tight end. I'm just kidding because he's very good at this.
But he hit the first game of Thanksgiving, didn't
right?
he?
Right, yeah, he did. He had Wicks.
Yeah.
So he's got both quarterbacks tonight. He's got Mac Hollins, and he has Theo Johnson. Yeah.
Not bad.
So I'm having a little bit of fun with some pizza money on those.
Those look good.
Kramer-centric, follow him on Twitter. He always puts them out for the primetime games. Jackson Dart, Theo Johnson, Mac Hollins, Drake May are his plays for tonight.
Other than that, I like the side that I bet, plus 7.5, so that's all I'm going to have pretty much.
Yeah, I think it'll be...
What's the number on Drake May? What's the best number out there on May to be the first touchdown?
I think it's around 14, 15.
Pulling up DraftKings right
they got
now.
13 here.
Their first touchdowns up to date. Drake May, 13 at DraftKings. So, yeah, it looks like that 13-14-1 kind of range. Both quarterbacks tonight. Yeah, I think that I do like that angle. Both quarterbacks tonight. That's the Wilbo play. Wilbo every Thursday on the program. Always loves the quarterback. Yeah. So this is this is definitely a good one to look at the quarterbacks, in my opinion.
How about this? For books that offer live player props tonight,
mm-hmm.
do you think there's an angle where we can tell right away with Jackson Dart? Much like, now, Danny Dimes yesterday, his prop was bet down to, I think, like 5.5. He wasn't taken off at all yesterday in the game.
Right.
So is there an angle where if you're watching the game early tonight and Dart is the same old Dart, maybe you want to get on his live player prop over right away, or if it looks like he's really holding it back and he's not taking off and he's sliding right away, it's something to consider.
That is something
you could get
about.
It in one play, though.
Yeah,
that's the other thing.
That's true. Yeah,
that's tricky.
Yeah.
That's tricky.
I actually think they're going to tell him not to run tonight.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
But and does he? But to Paulie's point, does he listen?
No, no. I think he goes rogue.
Yeah. Mitch, it was a great point about Daniel Jones, too, because with that leg injury, he is not going to be running much at all.
No. And we had that for three straight weeks. Yep. Baker Mayfield didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yes.
He never had a single rushing attempt for three consecutive weeks. Had the oblique. Now, he said it wasn't the oblique. He said it was the defenses he played and how they schemed, but you can probably call a little bit of BS on that as well.
Well, the Christmas commercials are on our televisions nonstop, so we figured we'd join in the holiday spirit. Celebrate the spirit of Hawaii. Matt knows about celebrating the spirit of Hawaii with Nohoku, Hawaii's finest jeweler since 1924. From timeless island-inspired designs to modern fine jewelry, Nohoku creates pieces that will help. They'll let you carry the aloha spirit wherever you go. Whether it's a gift for someone special or a personal treasure, Nohoku jewelry is a lasting reminder of the islands. Visit Nahoku.com or stop by one of their many locations across Hawaii or here on the mainland, Vegas, San Diego, Denver, Texas, Orlando, Chicago, the DMV. Visit Nahoku.com today. Gentlemen, enjoy some pizza on the way out. Enjoy Monday Night Football. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Good luck tonight, boys.
Good luck.
There they are, Mitch and Paul. More of VSiN Primetime next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime, Monday Night Football, New England hosting the New York Giants. Right now, point spread sits at 7 across the board, except for FanDuel, as they are at 7.5 juiced, minus $1.20 if you want that hook, and the New York Giants if you want to take the New England Patriots plus 7.5. Minus 7.5, I beg your pardon. So we got a whole lot to get to. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Johnny Avello coming up at the top of the next hour. And a whole lot to dive into. We got championship weekend, Matt, upon us in college football. 9 games to look at. And certainly plenty of angles for not only those games, Heisman Trophy, to make or miss the playoff, all that. So a lot to get into. And, here we are. December 1st, Matt.
November just flew by, Tim. November was a great month, except for Black Friday. Every day of November was great, except for Black Friday. I think that's why they call it Black Friday. You're going to get screwed on an NFL game on Black Friday, and that happened to me with the Eagles. But anyway.
Having a good Black Friday on my flight home. Texas A&M lost to Texas. I was like, oh, New Mexico took care of business against San Diego State. I'm like, wow, it's going to be a great week 14. And then Saturday showed up, and I said, oh, no, it's not going to be a great week 14, apparently. So there we go.
I can't wait until the college football playoff show on Tuesday night. It's going to be exciting. And the 8 million tweets are going to be sent out by people after it about where Notre Dame's picked, where Miami's slotted in the bracket. This could be exciting, Tim.
You love it. And that's
I heard they've added a new member to the committee this week. Do you hear that? They're trying to clarify things up, sharpen the committee a little bit. So they've added one spot to the college football playoff committee. Kirk Herbstreit's dog is going to be on the committee this week, too.
I don't know. You might. I think there might be some people out there that think he could pick a little bit better than those 12 in the room. But we'll discuss it more from a betting angle, as I'm sure many of you who might be tuning in right now be like, "Oh God, no, not you guys too." As it is just
no,
it's just nonstop.
We're not going to talk Miami Notre Dame all night. We're not going to talk Lane Kiffin all night, but we will talk some college football. By the way, I made one college football bet on the conference championship games. Took Indiana +6 against Ohio State. Bet that yesterday. Walked into Circa today. I see the number of 4.5.
There we go.
I like the Hoosiers in that game. And speaking of the Hoosiers, we got a great guest lined up in the third hour of tonight's show.
The man, the myth, the legend himself, Wes Reynolds. He will join us to give us his thoughts on Indiana and Ohio State. I had a buddy of mine text me because, you know, I do the letdown spots every Tuesday. But here we are. It's championship week. There's no such thing as a letdown. He goes, is it possible for the first time ever that there's a letdown in a conference championship game?
I think
there is. Ohio State finally beat Michigan.
It's certainly possible because that's the game the Buckeyes have targeted for how long, right? And they finally got that monkey, the gorilla off their back.
They're still going to get a bye no matter what.
Right.
Win or lose against Indiana.
Hey, last year Ohio State won the national championship and did not even play in the Big Ten championship game, right? So how important is it really? Well, obviously, you want to win your conference, and it's still an important game, but I think there is a letdown factor here with the Buckeyes coming off that big win at Michigan.
I believe wholeheartedly it is. I have not bet that game yet. Didn't get the best of the number like you did. I did make one bet immediately, and that was actually on Georgia. I laid the money line with minus.
I like that side.
I laid -20 with Georgia. It's now -30 at DraftKings. Still think it's playable. I don't want to get too rich from that standpoint, but I love the way. I know they didn't play all that great on Black Friday. Didn't cover against Georgia Tech, but they were able to do what they needed to do, and there's something off with this Alabama team right now. I had Auburn +6. They go for it on fourth down. They score a touchdown. I'm like, great. Another fumble down late into Alabama territory. Alabama holds on. But, yeah, you look at some of the numbers for Alabama. Hasn't been ultra impressive. That should be a fun one. And playing for a bye. But we'll dive more into college football, all the conference championship games, and news circulating, Matt. Kalani Sitake, according to our friend Brett McMurphy.
I heard about this 3 or 4 days ago.
Could very much be the new Penn State coach. So what would that mean?
I don't think it's the right fit. I really don't. Kalani Sitake, look, when you're at BYU, you've got an inherent recruiting advantage with the older players you can recruit, Samoans, and with the guys who go off on the Mormon missions. I think Sitake's a great fit for BYU. And they've obviously done a great job fine-tuning their recruiting, and everything's humming at the right level for the BYU football program right now. And Sitake, I think that's the right fit for him. Now, Penn State, what connection does he have to Pennsylvania, to the Big Ten, to the East Coast? I don't like this fit. To me, it reminds me a lot of when Bronco Mendenhall left BYU and he went to Virginia. Tim, Bronco's a really good football coach. He was not very good at Virginia, was he? He didn't really have.
He had a couple moments, but yes, decent, overall he was better at BYU.
But if you're hiring a coach, you're looking for more than a couple moments, right?
Of course.
Yeah, and Bronco Mendenhall just didn't get it done at Virginia. He didn't have connections really to the ACC or to that area of the country, and eventually bombed out and landed at New Mexico. I don't see why Kalani Sitake would be this hot a name for Penn State. Apparently there's a connection between Sitake and the Penn State athletic director. So it's more of a personal relationship than any sort of specific program fit. I don't like it, though. I don't think Penn State fans are going to be too fired up about this either. Not to say that he's not a good football coach. I just don't think it's the right fit. And when you're at the level Penn State is and you expect to win national championships, you got to get a guy that's the right fit. And I don't think Sitake is that guy.
They fired James Franklin because he couldn't win the big game. He got them to a level that was damn impressive, but they just couldn't get over that hump. Is Kalani Sitake that guy to get him there? Who knows? It's not official yet, But that is the reporting that is out there.
There are reports out there right now, too, that BYU believes it still has a deal in place with Satake and he's not going to leave. There are conflicting reports out there.
Yeah, so that is the latest rumor.
What makes you think Kalani Sitake is going to walk into Penn State and all of a sudden he's going to start beating Ohio State? No.
I don't. You know, I thought Brian Daboll, actually, getting it back to the Giants, would have been an interesting option there for Penn State if they were to go that route. Doesn't seem like that is going to happen. But, you know, circling this back to Monday Night Football, Giants and Patriots here tonight. You were mentioning it a little bit during the break and looking around. As a small play, and we talked about our guy Ryan Kramer with a first touchdown bet on Drake May. He's 15-1 to score the first touchdown tonight, Matt. Is that something to throw out there?
In fact, that's a bet I'm going to look to make here. Got to get the apps open before the game because if Ryan Kramer throws it out there, you have to consider it.
Absolutely.
Right? Or you have to bet it.
The first touchdown goat.
Mitch said he's going to follow those, so I'm going to look to bet that as well. I think I am going to play Drake May score the first touchdown here before the game. I think the Jackson Dart rushing props, one of the most intriguing questions about tonight's game.
I agree.
I saw Scott Seidenberg put out a play on VSIM Pro last night. Dart under rushing yards, the number is 29.5. Now, Scott also told me Thursday night when he was in the studio, don't worry, the Eagles are going to handle the Bears, no problem. No problem. I said, shut up, all right? I don't want to hear it. This is Thursday night before the So, take that for what it's worth. No problem. The Eagles are going to handle the Bears. I have no problem with the Bears. I said, I don't want to hear it. Would you shut up?
Did you go swimming after the Bears lost?
No.
Or the Bears win?
No, because midway through the first quarter, I could see which way it was going to go. I really could. And look, I hedged a bunch on the Bears, +7, +320. But it's not really all about the money either. You're trying to – look, you're not going to be able to hedge enough to make up for
$18
million. Or sharing the pot in an $18 million contest. It's more about being alive through December, being in the hunt, and having a chance to win this thing. But I was bothered about the way the Eagles have been playing all week last week. I thought playing the Bears was probably the right move, or one Bears, one Eagles on Friday, and I wrestled with that decision all week. It's interesting that the leader in the Circa Million contest, Potato Commish, played Eagles -7 as one of his plays last week. There are a lot of sharp guys I know who like the Eagles laying the points against the Bears in that game, and it just didn't work out. And I can tell you that midway through the first quarter, I was just sitting there shaking my head saying, Eagles are going to lose this game. You can just see it. They've been flat offensively, and that wasn't changing on Black Friday, Tim.
Heading into Black Friday, 900 survivor entries alive after Black – well, actually, heading into Thanksgiving, excuse me. After the weekend, 49 left in this contest. Hey, right now, if you're looking to get back some of that money, how about free money? All-new Boomer Sportsbook bringing the action to you. Football, hockey, basketball, and more. Make sure you use the code VSIN250 when you sign up for a Boomer's mobile account, and they'll match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets. Plus, you get minus 105 on all football spreads every regular season game. Download the Boomer Sportsbook app today. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. Must be 21 or over. Terms and conditions apply. Bet responsibly. That's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. We got some college basketball going on. Very light night in college hoops. We do have a Big Five game happening in the city of brotherly love as Temple right now has a 2-point lead over Villanova. So it is VSiN Primetime. We like to keep you up to date on all of the happenings across all sports right now. New England and the Giants, a 7-point spread total down to 46.5 at Circa.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling here on VSiN Primetime alongside Matt Humans. I'm Tim. I'm throwing my Sharpie all over the place.
That was smooth.
Yeah, you like that? People didn't see it, but then Matt starts laughing. So I go pick it up. It's right here. Got it. Had to order these because I forgot my flip-flops when I went down to Florida, Matt. So I had to order something in order to get same-day delivery. I had to get to $25 on Amazon. So I threw in some Sharpies onto my list so I could get some get my flip-flops before I arrive down there in Florida on Thanksgiving. All right. Monday Night Football, Giants and Patriots. And a couple of things I just wanted to look at here. So from a side standpoint, you are looking at the Giants. You said small play for you is 7.5, but obviously, VSiN primetime, if you're new to the program, we will be watching the game, we will be discussing the game, and looking for in-game angles as well.
Yeah, I got a couple of the betting app open right now. I do want to, like I said, I took 7.5 with the Giants, and Circa had 7.5, I think, most of the weekend. In the Friday Football Invitational, the number is 7. I just double-checked, so Jason Jarvis has +7 for his best bet tonight. Circa did have 7.5 for much of the weekend, so I took 7.5 at -115, and I will, like I said, it's about a half-unit bet. I'll look to play something live here tonight, too. I think the Giants are going to hang in this game, and one of the reasons is Will Campbell, the stud rookie offensive lineman for the Patriots, is out, and this offensive line has a little bit in disarray. Giants' defensive front is aggressive. They're going to get after the quarterback tonight. I think that's got to be their strength if they're going to stay in the game. Going to have to stop the run, find a way to stop the run, and get after Drake May, who's been sacked 37 times. That's the fourth most in the league, up there with bozos like Geno Smith and that bad Raiders offensive line. I mean, it's actually crazy. When you think about it, here are the most sacked quarterbacks in the league. One, Cam Ward of the Titans. I said something yesterday to a friend in Nashville who's a Titans fan. I said, what a bleep show joke of an organization you have to watch there in Nashville, just year after year after year. If you're a Titans fan, why would you not give up the Titans and move to a different team? How could you continue to be a fan of the Titans? What do they ever do to give you entertainment value? This team's a joke year after year after year. Cam Ward's been sacked 48 times. He's got 7 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions, really lighting it up as a rookie. Cam Ward, Geno Smith, and Justin Herbert. Herbert's offensive line's been decimated the entire season. Those are the 3 most sacked quarterbacks, and Drake May's 4th on that list, Tim. And that's why I think the Giants do have an aggressive defensive front. They can get after the quarterback, and that's one matchup advantage they have in tonight's game.
Justin Herbert, by the way, we'll talk more about this. Surgery on his left hand, but doesn't expect to miss time. So
I bet he plays better than Aaron Rodgers did with the hand injury.
That was not pretty.
I would bet on that.
Do you think Justin Herbert will then throw his wide receivers under the bus?
No.
No? You don't think that'll be on the call sheet for Aaron Justin Rogers, Herbert?
Stand-up guy, Aaron Rodgers, right? I stink, but hey, the wide receivers are not showing up to meetings. They're not running the right routes. Whatever. I'm not going to miss that guy next year when he's gone. I don't think many people will.
No.
Right?
You think Mike Tomlin will miss him?
Mike Tomlin might be gone, too.
That's true.
Might be it.
All right.
Steelers got to find a quarterback. This is a much larger discussion, but since Big Ben retired, you just rotate clowns at the quarterback position. That's not the way you're going to win a playoff. You know the Steelers have not won a playoff game since 2016? That's a long drought, man.
A lot of first-round losses. A lot of wild card weekend losses for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
How do people, I always wonder this, how do people stay loyal as fans of teams, hapless teams, like the Titans, the Browns, the Jaguars? How do you stay fans of teams like this? I'm starting to wonder how Raiders fans stay Raiders fans. Fans are deathly loyal. But seriously, the Jaguars, Titans, Browns, teams like that have never really had any success whatsoever. How do you buy season tickets and show up every week and root for this hapless team?
That was a good 30-year stretch for my hometown until last year. They got something going, and now they're back at it. 3-9 again this year are the Washington Commanders. Actually showed some fight last night. I liked them in that spot. I took the points with Washington in that spot. And then
Jets. I'm going to throw the Jets in there.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's – remember how excited they were when they traded for Brett Favre? And then when they got Aaron Rodgers, man, all summer long, they were the favorites. Aaron Rodgers leads them out of the tunnel.
Breaking news, the Jets have just traded for Max Brosmer.
Who was supposed to. I think it was a bit. Now, I just saw Freezing Cold Takes tweeted out that apparently Steve Mariucci gave out that Max Brosmer will break the was it Kurt Warner's record for most passing yards for an undrafted free agent? I think it was more of a bit, but he did not.
That had to be a bit.
He did not throw for 485 yards yesterday, man.
I'm going to tell you this. I did bet the and put it up on the VSIM Pro page. I bet the Vikings-Seahawks game under the total 41.5. And I said, how are the Vikings even going to score 10 points in this game with Max Brosmer at quarterback? When I put together the NFL quarterback depth charts for the preseason, and I was going through each team, and I saw Max Brosmer was in camp with the Vikings, I laughed. I said, he's terrible for the Golden Gophers. How is this guy even in an NFL camp? And he's starting a game. In week 13, this guy was starting for the Vikings. I said, he's got no shot whatsoever. There's no way that the Vikings offense is going to be successful against that Seattle defense with Mad Max at quarterback yesterday. Tim, he threw for 126 yards, no touchdowns, obviously, and four picks. One that was a pick six, one of the most comical plays you're ever going to see. How does Kevin O'Connell, who is a pretty sharp head coach, how does he go into a game with Max Brosmer as his starting quarterback? I couldn't even believe he was on the roster in training camp. And he was starting a game yesterday. That's the type of stuff you got to wonder where a head coach gets a little bit lost. You got to put together a better quarterback depth chart than that. You have to knock Kevin O'Connell down a couple notches on your power ratings for coaches when you see something like that. Because, Tim, you cannot go into an NFL game with a loser like that as your starting quarterback.
Justin Jefferson had two catches for 4 yards.
Yeah, I think Justin Jefferson would agree with what I just said. Probably not publicly, but yeah. And look, it's Max Brosmer was a decent college quarterback for the Minnesota Gophers, but never did you watch him play and say, oh, that guy's got NFL potential. No chance. But, hey, that's part of knowing the personnel as a handicapper and taking advantage of that spot and betting against it, right?
No doubt. Matt, tonight, Jackson Dart, he was a guy that you and I were pretty excited about
the Jackson Dart.
Giants drafting him in the first round a year ago, trading back into the first round. What was funny is the reason they traded back into the first round because the Rams, who have the favorite for the NFL MVP, were reportedly interested in selecting him in the first round. But Dart back after the concussion, Matt. What do you expect from Dart tonight? And something you mentioned, Scott Seidenberg logged into the Pro Picks page, is his under rushing yards. On the surface, the number looks low, but I think the point that you made is fair. He's coming off a concussion. Is he going to be a little bit more guarded? Are they not going to want him to run the ball nearly as much as he has in previous games?
I would think so. I mean, you always say you want the quarterback to play his game, do what he does best, and then Jackson Dart's going to run. But when you're coming off a concussion, that changes. And especially when he's a franchise quarterback, you don't want to put him out there, run around, take unnecessary hits. So I think he is going to change the way he plays a little bit tonight. The number Scott Seidenberg put up on rushing yards for Dart, 29.5, which he was playing under.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. I don't think I'd be really surprised if he runs much tonight. But then again, I see so many dumb things in the NFL every week that I'm shouldn't be surprised. I'm watching guys fielding punts at the 2-yard line now. It's routine every week.
Taking a look
at
the
Little League football, Tim. They told you put your heels on the 10. If the ball flies over your head, let it go. We got guys in the NFL. We have guys fielding punts at the 2.
Jackson Dart, 28.5 is the rushing yards at DraftKings right now, -107 to the under. By the way, Travion Henderson for New England, 64.5 is his over-under for rushing yards here tonight. Tyrone Tracy for the Giants sitting at 48.5. Well, speaking of those bets, you get all of the bets, the Circa Friday Football Invitational plays, all of them if you're a VSIN Pro subscriber. And how about this offer? Our Black Friday special is still live, and just for $60, you'll get full VSIN Pro access to everything we offer all the way through May 1st. That includes daily best bets from VSIN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and weekly wide receiver, cornerback matchup edges, 24/7 video and replays, and coverage of every major sport through the spring. Football and hoops to March Madness, NFL Draft, and the Masters. Our biggest new subscriber offer of the year is here, so don't wait. VSIN.com/subscribe. VSIN.com/subscribe.
By the way, one book I just checked, took down the Jackson Dart rushing yards prop.
Hmm. Interesting.
I did bet Drake May to score the first touchdown. I'll just put that in.
Johnny Avello, he'll give us the latest from behind the counter next.